Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As always, jazakallahu khair, Hazrat Maulana Salim Sahab, for all your beautiful du'as. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take you from strength to strength. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. قل يا أهل الكتاب تعالوا إلى كلمة سواء بيننا وبينكم سواء بيننا وبينكم ألا نعبد إلا الله ولا نشرك به شيئا ولا يتخذ بعضنا بعضا أربابا من دون الله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al-Ansar International. There are some important incidents that are mentioned in the tilawat of the Qur'an-i Majid tonight, the third Taraweeh. So, in the following verses, three exemplary incidents are mentioned. All these incidents are miraculous and point to the great power of Allah Ta'ala. The first incident is the birth of Hazrat Maryam alayhi salam, whom the Christians regard as the wife of Allah, and her son is the son of Allah Ta'ala, thus falling prey to the worst form of deviation. Hazrat Maryam alayhi salam's father, Hazrat Imran, was a pious servant of Allah. His wife, Hanna binti Fakhud, was a pious woman and a person of good character. For a long while, she had no children. So one day she saw a bird feeding its young chick. And on seeing this, her heart was moved. A desire to bear a child grew in her. In the court of Allah Ta'ala, she begged, requested, and made a vow that if Allah Ta'ala gave her a child, she would endow him for the service of Baitul Maqdis. So Allah Ta'ala accepted her dua. A daughter was born to her. It was customary that only men and not women were accepted for the service of Bayt al-Muqaddas. In the meanwhile, this newborn's father had already passed away. However, Allah Ta'ala accepted this dua of the wife of Imran, contrary to the norm of only men being accepted for the service of Bayt al-Maqdis, and placed her under the responsibility and care of the best person of the time, Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salam. وَكَفَّلَهَا زَكَرِيَّا كُلَّمَا دَخَلَ عَلَيْهَا زَكَرِيَّا الْمِحْرَابِ وَجَدَ عِنْدَهَا رِزْقًا قَالَ يَا مَرْيَمُ أَنَّا لَكِ هَذَا قَالَتْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ So Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salam saw her miraculous feats and the out-of-season fruits that would be found in her chamber. So one day he asked her, O Maryam, from where is the sustenance coming? So she answered, it is from Allah. Verily Allah gives unlimited sustenance to whomsoever He wishes. So on hearing this answer, which was based on strong iman, strong faith from this innocent child, the desire rose in the heart of Zakariya alayhi salam for children, whereas he was already over 100 years in age, and his wife too was very old and barren. However, in spite of the outward means being adverse, he made dua to Allah Ta'ala with great humility and submission. And he said, O my Rabb, grant me pious children. Through your special favor, definitely you are the one who hears and accepts duas. So Allah Ta'ala accepted this dua, which was made with a broken heart, and gave him glad tidings of such a son who would bear four qualities. He will testify to Kalimatullah, that is Isa alayhi salam, and will believe in Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. He will attain a rank of leadership in knowledge, piety, in zuhd and abstinence and ibadat. He will be very chaste. In spite of having power and strength, he will not even go near women. And he will be in the ranks of the Anbiya and the pious. So the third exemplary incident is the birth of Isa alayhi salam. If the incidents of Hazrat Maryam alayhi salam and Hazrat Yahya alayhi salam are amazing and a sign of the power of Allah Ta'ala, since their parents gave to birth to them when they had reached old age, then the incident of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam is even more amazing, because his birth was miraculous without the agency of a father. When the angels informed Hazrat Maryam alayhi salam about their son, about her son, she asked, surprised, "How will my child be born? Whereas no man has ever touched me." So the answer came from Allah Ta'ala: "It will happen like this, because Allah Ta'ala creates whatever He wishes. If He decides a matter, then He says, 'Kun, be,' then it comes into existence." So Allah Ta'ala had granted Sayyidina Masih Isa alayhi salam many miracles, but the Jews, in spite of seeing them, were not blessed with the good fortune of accepting Iman, and they resolved to kill him. On the other side, Allah Ta'ala planned to save him. However, all that Allah Ta'ala's planning was, or all everybody saw that Allah Ta'ala's planning was superior. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they planned, Allah planned, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of planners. So the Jews' claim is that they crucified Hazrat Isa alayhi salam and they buried him in a grave. He remained there for 3 days. Then the grave opened and he went to the heavens to the throne of his Rabb. In India, there's a group, the Qadianis, and Qadiani was a claimant of Nubuwat, Allah's la'nat and curse be on him. And they said that no, Isa alayhi salam was only injured on the cross, and thinking him to be dead, he was buried in a grave. Then his disciples, they treated him and he recovered. Then he migrated to Kashmir, where he passed away. So contrary to all these claims, and you'll hear so many others, is a statement of the Quran and the unanimous belief of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat that Hazrat Isa alayhi salam was raised to the heavens alive. Close to Qiyamah, he will descend from the heavens after completing his life. He will die a natural death. So in Surah Ali Imran, the following is mentioned. Remember when Allah Ta'ala said, "O Isa, I will grant you death when death is appointed for you. And at present, I am lifting you to me, and I will keep you pure of the slander of the disbelievers, and I will give you superiority, and I will give superiority to your followers over the disbelievers on the day of Qiyamah." And Allah Ta'ala clearly says, "Wama qataluhu, wama salabuhu, walakin shubbiha lahum." So after mentioning this incident, Surah Ali Imran invites all the Ahl al-Kitab, that is the Jews and the Christians, to unite on such a phrase which all the Anbiya taught and which is taught in all the four heavenly books as well as the smaller kitabs, the Sahifas. So this phrase is a kalima of Tawheed. La ilaha illallah. There is none worthy of worship besides Allah. So Allah Ta'ala says, "Qul ya Ahl al-Kitab, تعالوا إلى كلمة سواء بيننا وبينكم ألا نعبد إلا الله ولا نشرك به شيئا ولا يتخذ بعضنا بعضا أربابا من دون الله." What a dynamic ayat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed regarding His oneness, which was common to everybody at the time. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in the fourth para about لن تنالوا البر حتى تنفقوا مما تحبون, that you will never reach a stage of absolute piety until you do not sacrifice those things which are beloved to you in the path of Allah. So to reach one's destination, selflessness and the sacrifice of things which are beloved to one are necessary. And besides this, there are other important topics also mentioned in the para. After the command was given, was revealed for the changing of the Qibla, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam started facing the Kaaba Sharif and no more Jerusalem, Bayt al-Maqdis. Then the Ahl al-Kitab began making a huge fuss, and they said that Bayt al-Maqdis is more virtuous than the Kaaba, and this has the honor of being the first house of Allah Ta'ala on the surface of the earth. So Allah Ta'ala, in refuting them, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions three specialities of Bayt al-Haram. Inna awwala bayti wudi'a lin-nas. It was the first place of worship on the surface of the earth. There are clear signs found on it which point to its honor and virtue, including Maqam Ibrahim, Zamzam, and the Hatim. And وَمَنْ دَخَلَهُ كَانَ آمِنًا, whoever enters the precincts of the Haram Sharif, he attains safety and security. Muslims are commanded also to fear Allah Ta'ala as he should be feared, and hold firmly onto the rope of Allah Ta'ala, and not to break up into groups. Right? So Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala has said that the right of taqwa is that Allah Ta'ala should be obeyed. He should not be disobeyed. He should be remembered and not forgotten. He should be shown gratitude and not ingratitude for the favors which he has bestowed upon us. And the Muslim Ummah is the best and most virtuous of all the other nations. The Muslim Ummah always came towards righteousness. They executed one act very well, and that was Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar, commanding righteousness and prohibiting evil. And this was an obligation on this Ummah. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu has said, whosoever's heart desires to be counted amongst this Ummah, then he should fulfill this condition of Allah Ta'ala. So this statement of his was in reference to the verse in which the above three qualities of the religion of Islam have been mentioned. As long as these three qualities remain in the Ummah, they will be worthy of virtue and Allah Ta'ala's special favor. And if Allah forbid any group or person is deprived of these qualities, they do not remain worthy of this virtue. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said, by him in whose hand lies my life, continue commanding righteousness and preventing evil. Otherwise, Allah Ta'ala will inflict you with his punishment. Then you will make dua to him and your duas will not be accepted. Then also to forge close friendships with the hypocrites and disbelievers is prohibited. لَا يَتَّخِذِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْكَافِرِينَ أَوْلِيَاءَ مِنْ دُونِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. So because they will leave no stone unturned in trying to cause harm to you. They desire from the bottom of their hearts that problems and difficulties afflict you in both worldly and religious matter. Hatred and enmity is apparent from their faces as well as their speech. The hatred and jealousy which is concealed within their hearts is far more worse than that which emits from their mouths. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the battle of Badr briefly and speaks about the victory of the Muslims. Victory in any battle cannot be solely attained on the basis of large amounts of weaponry or the strength of the army. Its fundamental condition is iman and yaqeen, ittiba, obedience of Allah, and istiqamah, steadfastness. So as long as Muslims remain steadfast on the truth, and they hold onto the rope of Allah Ta'ala, they obey the commands of Allah Ta'ala, the help of Allah Ta'ala will remain with such people, and they will always be victorious. And this was displayed in the Battle of Badr. And then many ayats are also spoken about here regarding the Battle of Uhud. And now when there was a humiliating defeat for the Kuffar in the Battle of Badr, and to avenge this defeat, they made full preparations. And in Shawwal, the third year of Hijri, and under the leadership of Abu Sufyan, they attacked Medina Munawwara. So they outnumbered the Muslims in terms of soldiers and animals and everything. And the Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam had commanded a group of archers under the leadership of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Jubayr radiallahu ta'ala anhu to remain at the Mount of Archers, Jabal al-Rumat. But when they saw that the Muslims were in a superior position and they were on the winning side, then only 10 were left of the archers on Jabal al-Rumat, and the rest of them went to go and partake of the booty. Khalid bin Walid saw this opportunity, and then he attacked from the rear, and then there was absolute mayhem and turmoil, you know, within the ranks of the Muslims. And then there were those kuffar who were now going, and then they returned. And what seemed an inherent victory was now like sort of turning into a defeat. And the Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam was inflicted with wounds in this particular battle as well. It was a great message for everybody that the Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave instructions, and those instructions were so clear. you know, that they may remain on the mountain. And because the Sahaba Ikram, through an ijtihadi error, an error of judgment, quite a few of them went to go and take the spoils of war. And then the Muslims had this temporary setback. But then the Kuffar also retreated. 70 Sahaba Ikram lost their lives. And the most prominent one amongst them was Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala an. In the last ruku of Surah Ali Imran, mention is made of the people of Iman who always remember Allah, who ponder over the creation of the heavens and the earth, and who continuously make dua to their Creator. And at the end of the surah, the four principles of success have been mentioned. Sabr, stay firm on deen, as patience, and let not the heart become constrained due to difficulties and problems. Musabara, in front of the enemy, display more bravery and firmness than them. Murabata, prepare oneself to confront the enemies of deen. And taqwa, in all conditions and places, to fear Allah. So that's a very beautiful verse with which this portion is ended. Inshallah, Al-Aziz, will continue tomorrow. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq to make amal. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.